Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hello and welcome back to the Equipped Man Podcast, the podcast where we explore what it means to be a man of God in the 21st century. I'm your host, Luke Wance. And for this episode, I've got Levi, Derek, and Devin back in the studio. How you going, guys?
Great.
Doing well.
Good.
Well, yeah. We briefly talked before, doing better today.
Everybody's homes are getting over the sickness and the ick and the crud.
Yes.
So.
Yes, finally.
Everybody's on the mend.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
I always laugh because Derek always comes off as so tough, and it's like he comes into the studio and he's like crisscross applesauce on the big comfy chair, wrapped in a blanket. He's got a tissue up his nose.
It's his big hoodie. Yeah. I go, I'm going to be cold in that basement. I know. I should have brought my slippers too.
But everybody's good.
Yeah.
Happy
to be here.
Good.
I'm excited.
Thanks for having us again. You guys are here. Yeah, no problem. So today, to jump into it, I want to talk about comparison and competition. And a couple of you guys separately, I've talked about this. But basically, the theory or my thought process behind wanting to talk about this is, I know, again, you guys hang out a lot. Derek, Devin, you got the brother connection. Levi comes in with the friend/brother-in-law connection. I'm still going to hold on to that from last time we talked, that you're friends.
He's my sister's friend, too.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
But I know there's a lot of times they talk about comparison is the thief of joy. And how a lot of times, if you compare yourself, your family, your walk with God, your job, income, whatever, to others, a lot of times it can be a negative thing. How it's always you're almost downing yourself for what you see in others. But I kind of wanted to take that as a twist of kind of comparing yourself and all to other men and using that to push yourself to excel. And that's kind of what, and in my mind, I kind of wanted to tie that to competition because I know a lot of guys can be competitive and yes, it can be bad if you let that take over, but there's that little competitive edge inside of all of us that says, I bet I can do that. I bet I can do it like them. I bet I can push myself more. So that was kind of the basis behind what I wanted to talk about today. So the floor is open. Any thoughts, questions?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it today, just trying to kind of figure out, where do you start with something like this? And it wasn't like last time, where last time I felt like, man, I came in here, I had some notes kind of prepared and and everything. And this time it's like, oh, no, I don't have any notes, but I think it'll be good just kind of bouncing ideas and thoughts off of each other. And it was something, I think we either talked about it last time or I just was thinking about later or afterwards, we may be the ones kind of on here talking about this stuff with you, but, I mean, we're learning.
Yeah.
Levi was a good example last week. I'm not just going to jump in and say whatever just to feel like I'm adding to the conversation, but I'm just learning while I'm here. And so,
agreed.
Yeah, I mean, by no means are we professionals in any regard with this, but there's definitely a lot of experience and a lot of a lot of knowledge that's here, and so, but as far as the competition versus comparison, and just like with everything that you could talk about, there's a lot of avenues that you can go through, but I mean, competition was part of mine and Derek's life growing up. I mean, that's how we connected, was sports.
Yeah, I mean, if we're playing together, we're 6 years apart in age, but as soon as Devin was old enough to compete with me at anything, that's like what we did.
Yeah.
That was play for us. Like, we're competing. We're opposing sides of Nerf gun wars. We're playing against each other in video games. As we got older, I just wanted to do co-op games because he's way better than me. I don't want to compete against him for the most part. Let's play this shooting game together on this. Because
your
team.
Little brother will never beat you.
Oh, because he would destroy me. Beats me at most things. And that's okay. I raised him and to be superior.
Yeah.
In things. I trained him. So the teacher wants his apprentice to become better than him.
Yes.
But yeah, man, competition was really like very much how we grew up. And we played sports like from the as soon as we were old enough, like we started playing sports. And when we were at home, we played sports. The neighbor kids come over, we're competing and playing. Like it's like in the fiber of who we are. And now still, even as adults, like we play softball together, and Levi plays as well. We play basketball now. We've been playing through the winter every couple of weeks. Like, we'll play board games or whatever. It's like competition is ingrained in us.
Yeah.
I really can't relate to someone who doesn't want to compete at things, because I don't know, competition is fun to me. I don't know if that's in the fabric of our being as men or what.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of amazing how competition, even if it's on something that's sports or a board game or whatever, competition, it's a way also as men, I think, especially where we connect and we build connections, and we, even if it's, you know, a made up mission, right? The fact that me and you and a couple other guys or whatever are on the same team to complete this mission together, it's a way for us to connect with each other. But kind of on another way of like the comparison and competing, I remember when I came to the school of ministry a few years, you know, years ago now, gosh, 9, 10, 11 years ago, there were other people I saw there, and their behavior, like the way they read their Bible, the way they prayed, the way they interacted with others and reached out and loved God, like that was a comparison, and sort of competition, I guess you could say too, but a comparison that like elevated me to another place, that just having an experience with God, or, you know, even just on your own,
right?
Wouldn't have come about. But seeing people and comparing yourself to someone else's pursuit or love of God really elevated me to a different place, and it inspires you, but it also gives you a framework to go like, oh, you know, these areas I thought I was good, I'm actually just okay.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or these areas that I've never seen somebody live like this, that's actually possible.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be. And I remember those were the things that you really, years and years later, you don't necessarily remember the teaching per se, but you remember the experiences of the people you were around and how they lived. I think that's a lot easier to remember.
Yeah. And I know earlier, before Derek and Devin showed up, Levi, you and I were chatting a little bit about this, and you had brought up the idea of islandism, of how sometimes, you know, we as men, we as people, whatever, will get that like island mentality of if we aren't exposed to new ideas or to competing ideas, then we stagnate and we just kind of are there. You know, there, if there's nothing to challenge us, there's nothing to push us, there's nothing to want us to, or cause us to get better in our own lives.
Yeah.
You know, because I'll even say it, you know, as fathers, you know, sometimes you'll see other fathers, you know, raising their kids, you know, doing whatever activities. And it's like, you know, it's kind of, oh, I never thought about raising my kids like in that kind of manner or doing stuff like that. So it in a way, it's kind of, In my mind, it's like a good form of comparison of, I can push myself to be a better dad. I can push myself to be a better, you know, Christian. I can push myself to be a better athlete, you know, better husband. So again, that's kind of what I wanted to look at and explore in detail.
Yeah. I think you hit something that we could kind of go off. You said good comparison.
Yeah.
Right? Which obviously imply for me, when I hear comparison, typically it's the opposite, where I start to think of negative.
Right.
Right? The type of comparison where you're looking at all these other, you know, Levi mentioned you see these men. Because sports is easy. You know, it is competition.
Yeah.
You know, but like just competing in life and competing in, you know, spiritually as Christians, like obviously we're all competing and working towards the same thing. We're all running the same race, you know, kind of like scripture talks about. But there's the good comparison that pushes and drives, and then there's the bad comparison that causes you to freeze.
Mm, yeah.
Or tell yourself, like, well, I'm never going to get to that, or I'm not there now, so what's the point of me even trying, right?
Right.
I mean, that's something for sure that we can kind of move into is what is the difference, and why is there? Why do sometimes we see it and we have this motivation and driving force, and other times we see this and it causes us to stagnate or it causes us to freeze?
That's really good because you have areas where I think it comes down to confidence, where you might feel like if it's a sport you've been playing your whole life and you see someone that is like kind of equivalent of you or a little bit better, you're like, I can beat them because you have a history of skill, of developing a skill, and you have confidence in that.
Yeah.
But then there might be another person that is maybe somebody you want to be like, but you're like, I'm so far, or you, I say you are, but you feel like you are very far away from who they are. And it can be, we really have a choice at that point. I think it comes down to our last podcast. We talked about like the why.
Yeah.
Like you see somebody like, okay, they might inspire you, but do you really want to, like, are you just, you think that's really great? Or is that something you actually want? And I think if you just think that's really great, it's probably best just to cheer them on and support them and not be like comparison, like, oh, I'll never be that, and get down on yourself, because that wouldn't be something that would be a positive in your life. But if it's something like that you really want, then you should use that and say, hey, I actually do want this. And then you can pursue and go after that. And I think that would feed you and give you life because it's something that you really want.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how you put it into the realm of confidence, because I know personally, like when it comes to being business savvy and career and all, I've always looked at people that are entrepreneurs and, you know, look at what they do with their lives and their finances and their businesses and stuff. And I was not raised in a family or culture that really even talked about entrepreneurship. And so now that I'm an adult and I see people that are being successful entrepreneurs, it's almost like I look at them like this mystical, like, how do you do that? You know, yeah. How does your brain even work? You know? And then it's like, mm-hmm. You sit down and talk to them and it's like, oh yeah, it's just like this. And I'm like, what? How? You know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's still days where I don't get it, even though I've sort of made my own company to make furniture, but I still don't, it's like at times I still don't understand that entrepreneur mindset.
Yeah.
But I still, there's part of me that's like, but that's something I kind of want to strive for, to learn some of those skills, to have, you know, not necessarily I want your lifestyle, but I want some of those skills because I can see why they're, you know, that I can see that they're handy and they're useful and they're productive, you know? So it's like, how do I learn that?
Yeah. And I kind of touching a little bit on what we were saying, like almost good comparison, bad comparison.
Yeah.
Recently I had an experience that was extremely humbling.
Mm.
Like really just kind of ripped away any facade you'd built up or believed. Right. And you kind of, I kind of just saw myself for real, who I really am. And to be honest, when the pace of life and things going on around you and go, 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 and your ideas and what you're trying to do, it's actually difficult to do that sometimes. And you almost need something a little bit earth shattering to remind you almost, right?
Yeah. Like, oh yeah.
Hey, this is where you're actually at in life, or and not necessarily in a negative way, of just a really like, this is concrete, real Levi, who I actually am. And I found when I experienced that and kind of coming out of that, I would see other people, and I guess it was comparison, because I would just see other people and things in their lives, and it's like I could really read it for what it was and make changes in here, because I was humble enough to not think less of them or more highly of myself or anything. Like, there was a humility in here that opened up this door of seeing other people for who they really were, because I had seen me for who I really was.
Yeah.
And when I could see, it is like I could hear them different. Okay. You know, I could hear what they were saying on a different way. It wasn't being filtered through all this other, because I kind of just didn't have a filter. I was like, I'm just so small. I'm so little.
Yeah.
This is, you know, down to the bare bones minimum, like, and I would see other people, and the comparison was different because I could see it again kind of more in an inspirational way, and because I was humble, there wasn't anything getting in the way of making it a bad comparison or a self-defeating one. I was able to admit, yeah, I'm not good at that, and it didn't hurt.
Yeah,
that's, you know what I mean, like, I'm not that way. I'd like to be, and that's okay. That's not like a, I'm not losing or lost. I'm now moving somewhere I should be going.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, humility just kind of opened up more for me with experiencing comparison in a positive way.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's really good. I know, I don't know. It's like, I want to dive deep into this, because it is. I think it rules a lot of guys' lives, you know,
yeah,
a lot of us. And, you know, especially how we can use these concepts to better ourselves. You know, I mean, yes, as a joke, I said with Levi, you know, that how, you know, comparison years ago when he was dating his now wife, all of a sudden his comparison led him to improve his wardrobe.
Right.
Absolutely. And everybody's like, why is Levi dressing like Derek these days?
A lot of it was Shanae's, like, hey, you should wear this. We should change this thing. And
this is a funny sidebar of a story. You should also maybe improve your car, because before they were even engaged, I think, I don't know if they were engaged yet, but it was
our
kind of inevitable.
First date.
No, not that one. I'm thinking of another time. It was wintertime, and we had just played some basketball together, and he was giving me a ride home, and we get in his car, and, you know, the windows frost over.
Yeah.
But for him, he was unique in that his window was frost over on the inside.
Oh.
And so
that's exciting.
It's miserable.
He was ice scraping the inside of the car so we could see to drive. It was something else.
There was like a seal in the window or something that wasn't quite. So I'd have to scrape the outside of my car. And then I remember getting up, and it was kind of normal for me. This is what I do. I was scraping down the inside of the car, and Derek was like, what are you doing? And then there's little ice shavings that would just sit on the dashboard.
I said, this guy wants to marry my sister.
It's a no endorsement from the big brother.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. And I said, good luck to her.
I had another thought too, because I was thinking of myself before kind of that humbling experience, is you compare. And so then you present an image of yourself to try to compete with those around you that you're around. You create this image that says, I am where you are.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know that we do it on purpose, but like, we don't want people to know, like, I don't, you know, I saw that thing in the way you parent your kids or whatever. And like, you almost want to make sure they know you parent like that too.
Yeah.
Like, or that your marriage is like that too, or, or whatever it is, your finances and, you know, and this stuff, right? Like, I don't have thoughts in that area either or whatever. Right. And so you present an image because you're trying, it's a bad comparison.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to almost cover up what you know is lacking to meet the image you see in someone else rather than the humility to take it on and be like, wow,
yeah,
I want to learn from that. I want to hear from you on this topic, like, and accepting it. Even if you don't outright ask, you're learning by watching them. Mm-hmm. And that has been a difference, you know, that I'm noticing in myself. Because before it was like you present an image and you try to be this person you think you should be. I mean, it's not necessarily, you know, not necessarily doing it on purpose if you're not really thinking about it, but you're also, you're almost constantly trying to make your image like the other people around you.
Yeah.
Without the humility of going like, wow, I could really learn from that. I could really grow from that. I don't have that.
How do you think people feel on the inside when they're doing that? Like, always trying to portray. And you kind of said you kind of have come out of that recently, but like, what is that? What is that like to be? And I can't, I'm not innocent of like, you want to put on a good face or whatever else. I think as I've gotten older, I care less and less about that. But
you wouldn't do it if it didn't feel good, right? And so in the moment, you're gaining pleasure from approval. You're gaining identity from being known as XYZ.
Yeah.
Being known as a person who always has an answer, or being known as a person who knows the Bible really well, or being known as a person who, man, they just love and care for their wife. And so you gain in those moments with the people, but it's super shallow. And when you're on your own, you have nothing inside that's valuable.
Yeah.
And so then when you're faced with reality, you know it in the back of your mind, but when moments come, and they will come, no matter what you're doing, you're faced with the reality of what you really are, and you almost don't know what to do because you would have to rip down your image to get it fixed. Yeah. You'd have to admit that the image is false to get it fixed. Is that?
Yeah. Like in my mind, what I'm hearing is it's that concept of imitation, or, you know, keeping up with the Joneses versus striving to better yourself.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think there are a lot of times where we become more obsessed about how others view us than going through the work to really improve.
Yeah.
Because that's easy in a sense. You know, it's actually terrible.
Yeah.
And really can, depending on how far you take it and in what areas, you know, maybe it's financially, especially if it's financially, I mean, you can absolutely ruin, you know, decades of work, just going into debt and doing whatever, trying to fill this void and fit in. I mean, some, like you're talking about, you know, Levi, kind of some of the feelings that somebody might have when they're putting on that mask. Sometimes it's as simple as just, I just want to fit in. Mm. Like, I don't want to be seen as the outsider.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't know. Like, I think as men, we like to be the ones that know the thing. And,
true.
You know, it can be a little embarrassing at times if it's something that we in our minds have, and maybe it's not even just in our minds, maybe it is something that really is kind of fundamental that we just don't know, that we maybe should know with where we're at in our lives, but we don't have the humility to say, I don't.
Yeah.
Help me.
Yeah.
In a sense.
I think that's, I think you might not be done, but when you said we should know, I think, We think we should know, but that's a careful place, a cautious place where people should, where a guy should go is, don't assume that you should know. Like, nobody should ever feel like, oh, I should know this, and then it makes us feel less than.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm not a, you know this, I'm not going to build things with my hands, or if I try to, it's not going to be good because I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm okay. I feel because I have a lot of friends that are really talented at it, and I almost feel like I should be able to do those things, but I'm fully confident in my lack of ability, and even I'm completely fine admitting it and just saying, dude, I don't know. Teach me this.
Yeah.
Show me how to do that. But to the point, your point of like, well, you feel like you should, I think for those you guys listening to this, like, don't fall into that trap of like, you should be whatever else that you're not. Just forget that.
Yeah.
Just forget that. I mean, yeah, God, you know, good. I think, I don't know if I said this last time. I think I learned this last time after this. But, you know, God resists the proud. So if you're going to be prideful, he's mm-hmm. going to resist you. Mm-hmm. And if you're humble, though, he's gonna elevate you beyond where you actually are.
Yeah.
So operating that is actually going to be better for us, even though we think it's not, maybe,
yeah,
in the moment. And dudes, respect real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We know true. We know the imitator.
Yeah.
The pretender. We're like,
right.
Like if I was like, yeah, I'm confident. Well, yeah. Oh, we're gonna go do some sheetrock. Yeah, let me show you. I just did it for the first time 2 weeks ago. I think I'm better than somebody who did it before me, though, because what I was told was not what they did.
Yeah.
But if you saw me do it, you'd be like, the real ones, you'd be like,
it's right there. Isn't that funny? Like, we're trying to put on this mask around people that have probably years and years of knowledge and experience. Oh, yeah. And we're trying to talk like we know what we're talking about. Like,
you're using a 9-inch skim knife?
Yeah.
Let me show you.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, the real ones know. Is well, that especially, what that knife is called when they cut the sheetrock, a skim knife?
No. Usually use like a utility knife.
Yeah, okay.
The skim knife is for putting on the mud.
Oh, okay. I haven't got to that part yet.
Yeah. I just have to say, every time I see your license plate, because it says woodwork,
yeah.
And I was like, I would work, but I don't want to. It's the first thought I have that comes to my mind.
I know. After I got it, I was like, you know, it could be taken as that. Especially because it's a disabled vet plate. I would work, but...
It's so good. By the way, another thought I had on the comparison thing is, and I know I've done this to myself before, you will make an image of somebody else and put them in a place they don't exist either.
Yeah.
And you almost defeat yourself by making it impossible. Like, you think of these people or whatever, and you're inspired by and things, but you put them in a place that's like, it's impossible to be that and do that. I've seen people do that with our pastors and different things like that, people in our lives or whatever that we hear and we see. And you put them in a place that you're like, I can't live like that. So you basically just kind of quit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've accidentally, like, created an image in your mind of them that isn't necessarily real or true either.
Yeah.
So like almost kind of the opposite, like rather than an image of yourself, it's an image of them that's like, it's too much.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. You put them on it's easy to put them on a pedestal. And if you were to, you know, for a lot of those people, if you ever to talk to them in a real setting and were to ask some of the things, or you even, like, if you were to think, like, here's my image of who you are and what you do and what, you know, what your life looks like, you know, every time that person is going to tell you, no, it's not even close.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
You know, it's kind of one of the ways that social media is, again, like talking comparison, social media to a degree, and it is kind of ruining people.
Yeah.
Because they see these highlights, or they see the image that people are projecting of who they are. You know, they look and seem happy. They look and seem joyful. They're with their friends all the time, and they're all these new exciting places. And like, you build the image of them off of those things, and that's what you start comparing against. And you absolutely become depressed, because here you're in debt. Here you have bills. Here you've not gone on a vacation in years. And you don't, you know, you're still renting or whatever. Like, you start to compare yourself, and you compare yourself into the grave. It's just, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
But that's not even a true representation of their lives. No. You know?
Yeah.
I'll ask, because you brought it up, you know, because I know the three of you pretty much all grew up with the internet and YouTube and social media and all that. Do you think with the access to the internet and everybody putting at least their highlight reel online for everybody to see, do you think that has almost like increased this mindset of the comparison and the imitation, the keeping up with people, the, you know, the negative side of comparison?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it can be a dangerous place, man.
Yeah.
it really can. It can. You kind of, to be clear, Facebook came out when I was in college, junior year in college or something like that. So I wasn't influenced so much as a young kid, but even this, we're probably into my 20s, but not even still that bad. I feel like it's been the most in like the last maybe 10 years or so, where you see all these, like, where influencers started to become a term.
Yeah.
That you see, but it can be good and bad. I think a lot of this comes down to your heart and how you as a person, how you see yourself. Do you lean towards humility, or do you lean towards criticizing other people, tearing down? Like, are you a building up person, or are you a tear down person? Like, and that starts with the heart. And I mean, without Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I would absolutely be a tear down person.
Yeah.
100%. Get in the car with me and drive. You'll know that guy's in there. Like, and I'm in traffic. I'm like, just like, be quiet. Your kids are in the back. And like, my 6-year-old will sometimes, traffic, you know, like, yeah. So I try to internalize that. But if we're building, like, you can use the social media, it could be used for good. I mean,
yeah.
If you want to become more, you can find somebody who can help you become more. If you want to change how you think, you can find how to change how you think. You can be inspired by things on there. I think it's all about your mindset and going in what you see and being diligent about what you see too, and getting rid of things that are like, that's toxic, that's trash, I don't need that, or that's unrealistic.
Yeah.
I don't need that, you know? But if it, like, I think you know, as Christian guy, like, as a Christian man, you should have some discernment. I think even non-Christians have a little bit of, like, of a feeling. Might lead them astray, though, more so because their feelings aren't God-based so much. But you can watch something and discern, what is this really, and how does it make you feel? And I think just being aware of that can help you know, like, okay, I'm going to block this. I don't know what it means to block this. It'll block the person that made it. It'll block this video or whatever.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, it's not fruitful. So get rid of it, you know? And then the other things that are helpful, well, they can be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, so I think it's increased as far as the comparison, but at the same time as anything, as we continue to advance and evolve within just culture and what all that looks like. Technology, specifically kind of what we're talking about with social media and Facebook and X, Twitter, whatever, you know, all that stuff. If it's used right, it can be extremely beneficial.
Yeah.
You know, just like the internet when it first came out, and not first came out, but when it started to get beyond its infancy, you know, you go out, you're doing a research paper, you can find things quickly. You're not having to go out and get the books and do all that. So it's improved in a lot of ways, but yeah, I think that's a really good point, is what's your heart, you know, what's your intent when you're on here?
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, there are so many times where we, especially with athletes or influencers, whatever, we see the people that are at the top and here we are not even started.
Yeah.
And we're comparing to...
We're wondering why we're not there yet.
Yeah, to the greatest, right? And I think that's one thing that social media has really kind of... has really hurt, in a sense, and created even more so. You know, you kind of see it with fast food when that came out as well. But, like, everything being so quick.
Yeah.
Like, I want it now, and I'm going to get it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The idea of working towards something that you are not going to see the fruit of until 5, 10, 20 years down the line is becoming a lost art with younger generations.
Yeah.
Because you can stumble into social media fame and, you know, becoming a very wealthy off of
so
little.
Yeah.
In
they see examples of it too. So it's not like they're like, they're kind of encouraged, like, I could do it.
It's promoted.
Yeah.
You know? But, and so within competition, right, like, if you really want to compete with the people that are out there that are the best at it, like, you've got to put in work, and you've got to put in time, you've got to have dedication. And that's why it's good to get around people that are better than you.
Yeah.
With things.
Because I think a lot of times that it's that prep work that's not highlighted or celebrated to a degree. Mm-hmm. I think it was Usain Bolt. I saw a quote from him. He said, "I trained 10 years for a 9-second race."
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, he's arguably one of the fastest people in the world for sprinting, at least, you know, but
yeah,
you know, it's like, but nobody really celebrates that prep work.
Right. The grind is not glorified as much. You can find that though. One guy, influencer I like, is Gary Vaynerchuk, mm-hmm. and all he does, because it's what he talks about is like the work.
Yeah.
Doing the work, you know, so you can find it out there for sure.
And that's where it's a huge benefit. Like if right. you're at a spot where you're like Levi was talking about, if you're humble enough and you are willing to go out and look for those things, you know, not look for the end result. What's the process of getting there? You know, there's some, you know, Gary V's a good one. And there's some, again, not that anybody we say their name of, we fully endorse every part of their lifestyle. Like,
thank you for the disclaimer.
Yeah. Like, but you know, David Goggins is another one that he's got some hard stuff.
Yeah.
To listen to at times.
Speak to that wuss inside of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And but the challenge too is the culture is pushing against that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no. You got to celebrate who you are and where you're at, and you know, you're good enough where you are, and especially to people, people in general, but like this is a men's podcast, right? But especially men, like if we hear we're good where we're at, that is unsatisfying.
Yeah. That's a death sentence.
Yeah, but if that's all we're told and we don't know how to move beyond it, like we get stuck.
Yeah.
Depression, anger. Anger's a big one. But yeah, if, you know, we don't, you know, for me, especially people that are competitive, like I don't want to hear I'm good where I'm at because I see people that are better than me. I want to get to that spot.
Yeah.
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 That's really good.
Yeah. Just going to sit there and chew on that. I love the examples of like Goggins and Gary V and all these really great, you know, hustle, you know. I know another one that's kind of controversial is like the Tate brothers.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, but it's like I feel like there's a younger generation, and I kind of want to be careful, but I don't. But it feels like there's a younger generation. It's like they hear the work that needs to go into it, and they check out. Mm-hmm. It's like they don't even want to start the process because they hear it's a process.
Right. Right.
You know, it's like, Derek, I know you were doing day trading for a while. I don't know if you still are, but still
grinding, bro.
Okay, still grinding. Yep. See, it's the grind. It's the process to learn it, you know, and it's like, I know there's a lot of stuff out on the internet and social media that says, oh yeah, do day trading 20 minutes a day, you'll get rich, hand over fist, never work a day in your life. You know, just 20 minutes a day. That's all it takes, man. You'll be rich. And it's like, but people don't realize that it's a grind, that there's a huge learning curve. You know, there's all the stuff that you got to keep in mind, and you got to have the capital to start. You know, and it's like I think there's a lot of people, they hear that it's a process, and they just check out.
I mean, it goes back to our goal setting talk a few weeks ago, where why you're doing it and making a decision.
Yeah.
And once you make a decision, you make the decision again every single day over and over again. You can't like, if you, I actually posted this, I think I saw it recently. You say, if today you don't do what you decided to do yesterday, you didn't make a decision. Because the decision is what it is. It doesn't change. You made a decision, and now you continue with that decision every day. But that's the hard part, is doing it every day, doing when it's hard, doing when you don't see results. And you see the end result of people on social media. You're comparing to others. You see what you feel is the end. But the thing is for those people, they would tell you, I'm not at my end. They have somebody that they started chasing. They have somebody that they're continuing to chase to improve. So they're using that comparison to say, I want to get better. I see that there's more, and I'm going to continue to do that. And it really is how you think about it and what your mindset is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because with like social media and sometimes I think they hear the work and don't want to get into it and things like that. But I think it's actually, I'm afraid I'm going to find something more interesting before I'm done because they have so in any moment, being anywhere, doing anything in any moment, I can pull out my phone and find something to me that's more interesting and exciting than what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
I might be at a football game. I could pull out my phone and find something more interesting and exciting to me than this moment right now. And so learning the value of living kind of even in mundane moments of going, hey, sitting next to my couch right now is more important and I'm going to make that more important than something that I could find that's more fun, more fascinating, right? Yeah. And so it's like we hear the work, we see the work, and we're. I think there's actually a fear of committing to a thing because I'm going to find something else that's more exciting before I'm done.
Yeah.
And when in here, when you get that restlessness, that's really where it comes from, but it also it's created in us because we're constantly filling ourselves with the fascinating, the fascinating, the fascinating. I can go find a better preacher. I can go find a better podcast. I can go find a better book. I can like, we can always go find something that's better than the thing we're experiencing right now.
Yeah.
Because of that, it creates a restlessness that like you almost don't just settle for that book.
Yeah.
You don't just settle for that moment of having a whatever conversation with your wife. Like, and that when that restlessness goes, now suddenly like I'm not comparing this moment to another moment and I'm able to live in it. And that's one of the things like too that I've just lately just really been, I'm alive.
Yeah.
I'm just experiencing the moment that I'm in.
Yeah.
And then I'm finding I'm reading a book and I'm actually finishing the book rather than halfway and then I start a different one.
Yeah. You know,
where I was before, right? Like, and I'm reading Proverbs every day. I've been reading a chapter of Proverbs every day, and now I got my wife doing it with me. Like, it's nothing big. It's nothing. I don't have to go. I don't have to compare how much I'm reading the Bible to how much someone else is reading the Bible. I'm inspired by this moment that I've created with God and committed to, and it's producing in my life. Yeah. And like, does that make sense? Like, we almost we're restless because we can pull out our phone and find something more exciting than what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, remembering that it's a Christian man, right, that we're talking about, you know, so that's really good, too, excuse me, with just the root of all that you were saying was, like, God is my focus, in a sense, right? So, like, God is the pursuit, and all these things that we're doing, there may be things that are good. I think of, you know, Lucas and Gala, who, you know, I worked for a lot of years, got to know really well, and, you know, really, just really, really good man, good man of God, a guy that's very driven and is different than me in a lot of ways, in a lot of ways, but with how big and how much his company has grown, with it, you know, with Watchman Security, like he'll tell you, like this is God's, man. Like I'm just here to kind of watch over it. And in his pursuit, he's like, all of this could go. I could lose all of this. It's not going to change me. It's not going to change who I am because my pursuit is God.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, and so as Christian men, I think a lot of the restlessness comes because we lose focus of the goal, right? Our race as a Christian man is not to build the biggest business. It's not to get the most money. It's not to bring in the most views or what, you know, whatever we're trying to pursue.
Yeah.
Like that may happen on our path to chasing God.
Yeah.
Like that is our race, you know, and Paul talks about it obviously in scripture, you know, run the race as if you want to, or as if I never remember the exact verbiage of it.
Are you talking about that? Do your work as unto the Lord.
Well, there's that.
Run the race set before you,
as if, or with the intention of winning.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I forget exactly how it's worded.
You don't have to have scripture memorized to be a good Christian.
Yeah. Amen. Preach, Derek. Preach.
I don't. I don't. Levi is the one that probably has the most.
No. I even know what you're talking about, but the idea of it is what you learn from anyways.
Yeah, and so, you know, Paul talks about basically run the race as if to win.
Yeah.
Right? The race that we're running, as Christian men is the pursuit of God. That is my pursuit. That is what my endeavor is. And all of these things are going to come after that or from that, through that. So that's gotta be the why, right? Cause there's, you have to have a foundation on basically everything you're doing. So that's my foundation. My why is I'm going to know God and he's going to know me.
Mm. Yeah.
That's good.
That's the pursuit and all these other things they're going to come. And mm-hmm. there's a lot that obviously you can go into. And we talked about this. I did realize there was a lot that I was thinking of within comparison and competition that could actually really tie into goals and commitments that we talked about last time we were here. Gosh, I was saying that and I kind of lost what I was saying. but
running the race.
God is really competing, God really has to be the foundation.
Yeah.
The pursuit,
God's the pursuit and... I mean, maybe that's just where I should end that one. But
I think I might understand where you were headed because you're saying like God is the pursuit. So like the context of winning, like almost like the context of the comparisons and things like that. If the context of it is in that relationship, right, and in the pursuit of God and establishing those good things in my life, I don't necessarily have to have the biggest house, but I can have a house that is fully blessed and full of him and be at peace in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So the comparison part can kind of, the negative side of it can go away into the positive side when it's in the context of our pursuit of God and relationship with him. And we see things in other men and we're inspired by it and stuff like that. Maybe that's not where you're going, but I felt that as you were talking about that, like finishing the race and like, it's kind of like the rest of the mumbo jumbo, just whatever blessed stuff just kind of falls off and we can kind of put it in a context of.
Yeah. You find that restlessness when you're off the path.
Yeah.
And when you lose sight of what you're chasing after, you know, and for us, that's the finish line is there's God. You know, we don't know when that finish line for each of us is, but like you're either actively living or you're actively dying. You know, like I think Derek, maybe you mentioned that last time we were talking, but that's where a lot of that restlessness comes from is maybe a lot of us just don't quite fully understand what's our goal.
Yeah.
What's our pursuit? But when we realize like this is mine and mine's going to look different. Like, you know, we could talk at it in competition, right? Like in terms of basketball, Derek's probably going to be, he's probably just going to be a better 3-point shooter than I am.
Yeah.
You know, that's his skill and that's his talent. We just kind of joke about that, but it just to put it in terms that are easier to understand too, like, that looks different for him and I can practice and I can improve and I can work on those things, but there might be a skill or something that I have that I bring to the table that's different. You know, it's still within basketball. It's still within the game.
Yeah.
But maybe mine is, I'm just going to be a guy that plays defense.
Yeah.
Doesn't look the same. It's not as exciting.
No.
But the team wins.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, that's good. I think the key to all this is that the comparison comes when you're not rooted in what you're supposed to be rooted in. I say not the comparison to just itself, but the comparison that will leave you unhappy, unsatisfied, cause that restlessness, as Devin was saying, in you, will really come from just not being rooted in your relationship with the Lord and seeking him first, putting him first. Because when you do that, you have the peace and you can still be driven for things. But you have peace as you go about it. You have peace in the results that you get. You have peace in the whatever time that it takes because you're rooted in the most important thing, and that's your identity in Him, and not in your identity in achieving these things. Because once you even do, if you do achieve that, whatever that is, whatever that goal is, whatever you saw someone else doing, I'm going to get that. You go get that. What happens? It's not satisfying.
Yeah.
You go just get a credit card and you go do the vacation you saw somebody do, and you spend all this money you didn't have, and it's cool for a while. You get back home and you go, well, that wasn't as fulfilling as I thought it was.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to have it. You're just flat out not going to have it without God at the center of it.
Right.
And Him leading the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Well, that sounds good. I mean, that sounds like a really good, solid place to end. Any final thoughts before we shut down? No? Silence?
That was my final thought.
Yeah. That was your final thought. I know it was.
Kind of wrapped up the whole thing there, but.
You really did.
Yeah. And I think it all can kind of be tied back to what Levi said.
Yeah.
Be humble.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, we kind of all briefly talked about it. Levi brought it up, though. Like, get rid of any pride.
Yeah.
And make that a prayer. Yeah. Lord, show me where I'm prideful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's small, if it's big, get rid of any kind of pride that you have. Because living in humility is just such a more satisfying way to live.
Amen.
And it humility really opens the door for growth.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thank you guys again. Until next time, stay fit, be well.